I am the phenomenal one, AJ Styles, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans and fans of the Pain Clinic. Welcome to the show for September 18th. Holidays today. International Red Panda Bear Day. I'm not really sure what that means, and I don't know if it means something else completely, but it's International Red Panda Day, National Cheeseburger Day, which is every day, I think, in my life. And Oktoberfest begins in Germany today, most places. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donut Slight Empire, Culver. Join us 1 week from tomorrow for Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 266. That's right, prelims start at 8, pay-per-view starts at 10. And as always, no cover charge. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Send contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. And maybe they'll even explain to you why they spell it that way. I'm not going to right now. But check out the men's team, flowercityfear.com. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. I am here this week with Rob Sanderson, the artiste, someplace in Rochester, tucked away in a basement, I'm sure, right?
A little office setup. Good morning. I would just like to say that a red panda might be my favorite animal at this point. I know there was recently a birth of a baby red panda over at the Seneca Park Zoo. But shout out to my friend Lauren. We send each other pictures of red pandas anytime they pop up on social media. So
I'm glad they weren't alluding to something else. Okay. I have also joined from North Carolina, DC Dan Cole. DC, how's it going? And I know it's a terrible accent. I shouldn't even try it.
I mean, it's better than your Conor McGregor. So, you know.
Conor McGregor. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, break that one out at your concert tonight, Cash. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I'm going out to see the Violent Femmes and Flogging Molly tonight at Main Street Armory. I'm scared of crowds because of COVID, but you know what? Why not? You only live once. A little bit, you know. No birthdays today, which I was really surprised. You know, it's
nobody was ever born on this day.
No, yes. But no wrestlers at least.
Waiting That's for that day. First one.
Yeah, sorry, it's just one of those days. Hey, you know, it's a fluke. It's a one in a billion. So you say there's a chance. All right. So hey, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling, and had quite the week this past week in the world of pro wrestling. We saw a lot of new things with the WWE and AEW. Of course, riding the momentum still, beating Raw. I mean, we didn't even talk about this last week. I want to squeeze it in the beginning so that I can get it in because I completely forgot. I didn't forget. It just, we had a lot to talk about last week. But last week, the preliminary numbers, we're talking a week ago from AEW Dynamite, the preliminary numbers drew a higher audience than Monday Night Raw on USA. And they did this on TNT. And that right there, it's got to scare the crap out of WWE big time, because back when WCW kind of was, you know, they were both pulling astronomical numbers when they were going head to head. These aren't even head to head. You know, these are just, we're talking mass, you know, the size of the actual audience watching. And now 2 weeks in a row with this past week's Dynamite, they have drawn more viewers than WWE Raw, which was the flagship show for WWE for, you know, I don't know, since I was a little kid. Okay. So forever, man, that is some crazy, crazy news. I mean, that's, I think it's good for the business. I don't think it's good for WWE, you know, and I don't think it's good for the USA Network, who I think always seems, now we're hearing about them when they're complaining about things that aren't going right. And that is definitely one thing. What do you guys think about that news? I mean, that's kind of, you know, and I mean, like I said, we're going back to the Monday Night Wars. That's the last time WWE ever fell behind anybody. I know they're not head-to-head. I understand. And that's what WWE will use as their defense. Oh, we're not going head-to-head. We're going head-to-head with Monday Night Football, you know. So, but what do you guys think of just seeing numbers like that?
I mean, there's a couple different things to take into account here. I mean, obviously, we're never going to see the types of ratings we saw back in the day with the Monday Night Wars, just because there's so many different outlets for you to now get that content. Really, the only people that are going to care about the ratings are going to be your USA Network, your Fox Network. But still, the thing to watch isn't the overall rating. It's that key demographic they want to get. I believe it's the 18 to 49. And we saw AEW Dynamite beat Raw last week, which I think was a big factor in the stuff we saw on Raw this week. But even with WWE, you know, pretty much telling people up front, this is what you're going to get. Between the competition they had with Monday Night Football, AEW still beat them in that key demographic.
I think as the kids say these days, you love to see it. yes, I think that, you would say that WWE is somebody who's, you know, not happy about it or whatever. It's not good for them. But yeah, that's true. But it is also in some ways good for them. I mean, and I think you can see that. I don't know what their original plans were for this past Monday or, SummerSlam and stuff. They can see this AEW momentum, and it seems as though they are trying to respond, which is only going to make the WWE product better, or they're at least going to try. I will say that in the past 8 days or so, I didn't watch a ton of WWE, but I did watch more WWE programming in that week span than I have in a long time. And that's specifically because what they're doing with trying new things or giving a world title to somebody who has earned it so well over the past decade or so. I think that we always talk about competition being good, and this has been an example of it. Obviously, I personally really prefer the AEW product right now, but WWE has this wake-up call that they needed, and it's also fun to see this for everybody who said AEW is never going to come close in the ratings. Well, clearly that's not true. I think it's clear it's never going to happen for Impact, unfortunately, because those ratings are not good, but AEW is really making waves right now, and it's kind of exciting to see where it's going to go from here. I think it's going to only improve.
We got
to
love it. They're coming to Rochester in another week and a half. They're going to be here in Rochester Wednesday, September 29th. And they're
finally acknowledged on TV this week.
Yeah, I saw that. And they want to get the dinosaur pizza.
Dinosaur's pizza. Yeah. Didn't know dinosaur had pizza, but.
Well.
Yep.
I think dinosaur
points off to Jim Ross for the dinosaur pizza. So many bonus points to Tony Schiavone for mentioning the best Italian in Rochester, Rockies.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Tony was in town all the time here when he was doing announcing with the Gwinnett Braves. He was, he was here all the time. And so he got a chance to get to know the town a little bit, but yeah, well, you know what? Maybe I think that if, Dinosaur heard this, maybe they will make a special pizza for JR. You know, and get it to them when they're in town, because they'll be in town that Wednesday. So we'll see what happens. They did acknowledge
like a pulled pork pizza.
A pulled pork pizza. You know what? I don't think that would be that bad.
Some crispy onion on it, some barbecue sauce, cheddar cheese. Make it happen.
Oh my goodness, it sounds good. So yes,
call it the slobber knocker.
Yeah. So one thing I did want to mention, and this kind of leads into the next topic I wanted to go with, was Big E cashing it. You know, this past week, and then Rob had mentioned the past 8 days, you know, that things have changed in WWE at least. And I think they were announcing like maybe, you know, a couple days before Monday Night Raw that it was going to be, at first it was going to be a tag team match with Bobby Lashley. And I think it was MVP versus the tag champs, Randy Orton and the goof dude who's with him too. I won't say his name.
Riddle.
I won't say his name. No, but so then all of a sudden, a couple of days before now it's one-on-one Randy Orton and Bobby Lashley. And everybody's like saying, oh, Randy Orton's going to win this title. It's like everyone was super excited. And then everyone started to realize Money in the Bank could come play a part in this. This is before Big E ever mentioned it on his Twitter that there, that Money in the Bank was brought up. And then, what do you know? We have a new champion after Monday night. And I don't have a problem. I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, listen, Big E has become one of my favorite wrestlers. He always, I was anti. I was not New Day guy. I was for many years. With all the things that happened with Brody Lee and in the past year and everything, and this guy really stood up and showed you what kind of friend he was to this guy and how much that played a part in what was going on when he cashed that in and won and then paid tribute to his fallen friend. Man, I just can be nothing but proud of the dude and so happy for him. And then last night he comes out and gets in Roman Reigns' face and he wants to challenge Roman Reigns now, title versus title, which may happen, which is pretty cool. But still, that moment, it's even better than when Kofi won it. Now I feel bad for the third guy in the New Day because he hasn't won a heavyweight title yet, but maybe he will. But just Big E was like a guy. I was worried when he won the Money in the Bank that he was just gonna, just drag on and we weren't gonna see anything about it. And it really was pretty much pushed to the back burner for a while after he had won it. We didn't see him a lot on SmackDown, but very, very happy about what happened on Monday night. And I think maybe that will spark some numbers. I don't know. Maybe that's what they feel is, creatively, missing is things like, actually going with the people that the people love, instead of doing what their original plan is all the time, which sometimes, it falls flat. A lot of times it does. And obviously the numbers prove it. So it's almost, and I'm not going to say it's a desperation move by WWE, but it's definitely something they've had in their back pocket for a long time that they knew they could pull out if they had to. Unfortunately, it didn't help with the ratings, this past week, but we'll see what happens in the next following weeks. What do you guys think about the whole cashing in? I mean, we were teased earlier in the day by Big E on Twitter, so it wasn't like we weren't expecting it. And then he even talked about it in an interview on the show as well. So how does that make you feel seeing the guy that, really deserved it finally get his just dues from WWE?
I'm extremely happy about it. I think that, I'll admit that over the years, being somebody who really enjoys and hasn't been involved with indie wrestling and all that stuff, I've always kind of been like, these guys that go straight to the performance center that haven't worked the things, whatever. Big E was like one of the first people for me that really broke that mold. And you could tell his character early on. You could tell when he was in the early days of NXT and stuff that he was just a powerhouse, that he was going to start to develop that character side, but obviously a very accomplished amateur wrestler, and just somebody who's stronger than 99% of the people on this planet easily. I have really enjoyed Big E's work over the years. I think that this is something that I wanted to always think was going to happen, but I didn't know if it would. And I like that it was an actual kind of match on the cash in. Cause there's been so many cool moments with the Money in the Bank cash ins, but a lot of times it's just a cheap way to get your first world title win.
Yeah.
There's been so many people over the years where it's just like one move, pinfall, it's over. And the crowd pop is awesome. And the surprise element is awesome, but I think it kind of cheapens it a little bit when it's not like at least a minute or two of a match. Yeah, so we kind of got that with him and Lashley. I think that, I really hope this is a real reign for him. I hope it's not something quick. But as soon as I saw that tweet from him on Monday, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to put Raw on. And honestly, I admit, that's not my feeling on Mondays. I put Dark Elevation on and then kind of go from there with my night. And I'm glad that, I think we all got in the mode for so long of thinking like, oh, well, WWE is teasing this, so clearly they're not going to do it because they love to swerve. That's all they do.
Can you remember who won? Can you remember who won the Money in the Bank last year? It was Otis. And remember, it was Miz who cashed it in because they had no plans for Otis. So,
Yeah, but it's awesome. I think, Big E is definitely been in recent years, if not my favorite WWE superstar, in that top, that very top two or three in the company. So, you know, I hope this is one of those situations where they have, after all this time, built him up to main event status. And I hope that something that they don't do well, I hope they can keep him at that level for good. You know, obviously at some point he'll drop the title. I just don't want to see him fall back down on the card. And quite honestly, I think he is the best of the three in the New Day, in my opinion. Nothing against the other two. I don't know if we'll ever see Woods get it, but that trio is so likable. Props to Big E. It was one of those, WWE hasn't had as many feel good moments in recent years. That was a feel good moment. Absolutely.
DC.
Yeah, I agree. There were things I liked, things I didn't like. I mean, how can you not like Big E? And how can you not like seeing him finally get this win? You know, as someone who liked him since he was Big E Langston and he was doing the five count gimmick, you know, back one of those early people that would really take advantage of social media, Twitter and stuff. And he'd be walking around a grocery store and take a picture of a sack of coconuts and it said five count. And he'd be like, yep, these coconuts know what's up. Like, he's always had that great personality that you had to root for, you know. And again, as Artiste and you have mentioned, Cash, you know, his ties to, you know, Brody and, you know, how close he was with him. And not only that, you know, having that custom gear that they then auctioned off and gave the money to, you know, Rochester Food Link. So the ties to the area. So, I mean, you can't not love getting to see him have this moment. As far as, you know, the whole concept of the Money in the Bank thing, I hate when they telegraph the cash in like that, because to me, it did seem like a desperate, we're going to try to move the needle moment. I think one of the big things with that Money in the Bank contract has always been that spontaneity of it. You never know what's going to happen unless you get someone like an RVD or a John Cena calling their shot and saying, this is when I'm going to cash in and we're going to have an actual match. So I can't really say I'm a fan of the execution, but for the first time in a while, I checked out Raw this week.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that moment. Yeah.
It's a really good point, because I would agree that when you look back at the Money in the Bank cash-ins, the surprise element, the music that hits out of nowhere, that's always been so exciting. But as we're both kind of saying, I would not have had Raw on if they hadn't teased that. And I would be really disappointed in myself if I had not watched Big E's world title win live. So there's two sides to that. And just real quick, I think I've mentioned it before, but like the Brody tie-in, you know, the only time I ever met Big E was with Brody. He introduced me to Big E. We waited for our bags and our rides at the airport in Chicago for, I don't know, a half hour or something. And he was such a good, genuine dude. But I'm very glad that in that moment in 2017 that I got to see those two interacting with each other away from work, whatever, and see that genuine friendship, because it's, you've been able to really see that over the past year and everything that was just mentioned that he's done to pay tribute. I just think that like when Brody was down in Texas with me for the hockey stuff, Big E was texting him about him skating on the ice and this and that and doing the commentary and stuff. And I just think that like, it's really cool to see. And Brody said something the other day, Big E said something the other day on the bump, where he was basically just like, I'm going to keep shouting out my guy, you know, keep his memory alive, things like that. And I just think that every time he talks, he becomes more likable.
Yeah.
He's just a very genuine guy. And to me, like, he is one of those few people over the past couple decades in any wrestling company that has that type of likable, genuine, great human being personality, that is a type of person that you want to be the face of the company, to represent your company, whether it's international media, whatever the case is. I think that they finally got him to that level. And again, I want to see him stay in the main event level for the rest of his time there, because he's proven that he is a draw. He makes people tune in. Everybody likes him. And please don't ever make him a heel.
And don't split him up anymore. Don't split those guys up.
No, there's no reason to ever do that.
Yeah, and I think that's what we got too, is if he's going to be the Raw champion, he's going to be on Raw with his friends. So it's like the New Day will be, and the New Day, I mean, they supported each other on wrestling live events or whatever, pay-per-views. They all came out together when one of them was wrestling, even though they were on different brands and stuff like that. But he's a great dude and deserves it. And, I didn't realize, he had a lot of in-depth stuff this past week done about him. And just some of the memes that, they were heartbreaking, they were cool, actually. They're like the one with Brody Lee standing in the ring next to him as he was had his head down with a belt in his hand. Some of those are just absolutely, very, very, very cool. And I'm excited to go see them sometime, when they come around again and whenever that may be. But yeah, that was a moment, and let's see what happens. Is WWE still desperate? Because of what's going on, maybe we'll see what happens next week. But it's going in the right.
What you were saying there, real quick. I don't want to see them. I don't want to see them break up the New Day. I don't want to see them feud. I would love to see them have, one or two. All right, let's have a sportsman-like match, competitive match against each other kind of thing. I don't always love that in wrestling, especially because wrestling is something where you're punching guys in the face and everything.
Yeah, kind of teases something.
Why would you
want
to do that to your best friends?
Yeah, teases breaks,
But I mean, just to think of, Big E against Xavier or Big E against Kofi, I'd kind of like to see that just from a respect kind of, honorable match type thing. I think that would be cool.
Maybe they should do a three-way for the title, all three of them in there. That'd be kind of fun. So who knows? But yeah, I think that was probably the biggest piece of news, even though I kind of started off talking about the ratings, but I wanted to go into that because, you could feel have sense that they were doing something a little bit different on Monday night, but with that finishing up the show, definitely without a doubt. But we'll see where they go with it. But man, congratulations, Big E. It's been a long time coming. Before he's been there for so long, and they took a terrible gimmick and made it great. It just showed you. I remember him. I was just thinking about it when we started talking. I remember he was on that Divas show. Remember the Divas on USA or whatever it was, or maybe it was E. I can't remember. But they were
Total Divas.
Yeah, they were trying to hook him.
Put some respect on that show, Rich. You got a couple big fans of it here.
Yeah, I was gonna say they tried to hook him up with Natty's sister.
Sadly, I remember that episode.
Yeah, they were trying to. Same. He was like, Big E just came and hung out in Natty's house, and they were like her sister. And they go, hey, you should get, and they went out a few times. So, but yeah, I thought that now he's like the champ, which is super cool. And that's a heck of a way to start the week too for WWE, because they're trying to build now. Once again, they have a pay-per-view coming up in another 2 weeks, as well as announcing another stop in Saudi Arabia that's going to happen in a couple weeks.
Well, they haven't said where, but we all know that that's where it is. And they're going to keep doing this thing. Well, we've been positive so far. I knew that was going to get mentioned at some point. And
They did. Actually, you are right. They didn't mention it till the show was off, until I think, or maybe it was Heyman interview last night. But they're going to have Brock Lesnar obviously taking on Roman Reigns at this Saudi Arabia show. I think I have the date on there too. It's October 21st. I think it starts at noon here in the United States. It's going to be on Peacock. I don't know. Everyone who this is for those of you out there who don't have a job, and you have Peacock, you can watch WWE do their thing, take their blood money, as they
say. Been a couple times in the past where I've had one of their international shows on at my desk during the workday, which can be a nice thing. That being said, that's a big match and everything, but I don't know, not to go off on the tangent, I don't feel like tuning in to Crown Jewel regardless of what matches happen. I think that's not the right thing for, I understand they got a contract, whatever.
Yeah,
but it's not a good look.
No, no, especially
really,
after
these shows don't mean as much anymore now that Mansoor isn't undefeated. So
I will say, ever since they were held hostage in Saudi Arabia a few years ago, and we had to get NXT in Buffalo for Monday Night Raw, which actually was the most awesome night. If remember that. Remember when they had, like, they couldn't bring anybody back?
Hey, Mike. I know one person that didn't like the show.
Oh, yeah?
Hi, Mike.
That's right. I'm going to this Monday Night Raw show, and I don't know any of these guys. They're all NXT. You know, it's like, I thought it was great. But and because we had just seen NXT a few months before at the Riverworks, and now that they were headlining, It's the HSBC Arena, Marine Midland. It's one of those ones.
KeyBank Center,
that too. Yes. Which now you have to have a vaccination card, by the way, to get in.
The Duff Swings Palace.
That's right.
The other thing too with that, like, a lot of people won't talk about it until maybe they're out of contract or things like that. But you would think that in most situations, wrestlers will perform to the best of their abilities for a variety of reasons. I don't find me one person on the WWE roster that actually wants to go to Saudi Arabia, unless they're one of the headline people that's just getting millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Like Shawn Michaels, Michaels or the Brock Lesnar's, you know,
and even Michaels said he regrets it because it was horrible.
Yeah. It was
it. Like, he came out of retirement and had the worst match of his career. So
I was just going to say, too, like, that's the other thing about those Saudi Arabia shows. Like, common sense, logic, and booking seem to all go out the window.
Yeah.
So it's like it totally ruins any kind of flow they have going on. Like, for example, yes, that terrible match that Shawn Michaels came back for, or the terrible match where Undertaker and Goldberg nearly killed each other, or the terrible match where they have Goldberg squash the Fiend. Like, there hasn't been much great to come out of Crown Jewel.
Titus O'Neil.
You could have just said there hasn't been much great because there's been a lot of Goldberg matches. That was kind of sum it up.
Yeah, it's also a
Titus O'Neil.
Okay. The thing we alluded to there, though, like World Wrestling Entertainment, if we can get back to a somewhat normal world at some point, I know, wishful thinking, I'd love to see more of this because, again, we're in an era now where things aren't just on cable television or pay-per-view. You can stream something any time of the day, anywhere. And I've loved to see in the past, like when they had the show in Japan on the network and Australia had one, like I would love to see more of that. I just don't specifically want to see Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, look up the politics of it if you want, but no,
they kind of
blood money.
Yeah. Just because the crown prince, you know, had someone killed in his, you know, palace and dismembered and taken out in pieces and kind of, you know, it was like pretty much a UN atrocity because it was a guy from the media, which unfortunately some people in the country probably think love that, hearing stories like that, but it was terrible. I remember, and I still am not going to forget that ever, because it's like, I'm sure there's some regrets, but that last time they came back where everyone was trapped, I'm sure someday it'll be a Dark Side of the Ring episode because everybody has a story.
Wouldn't be the first Dark Side episode to feature an airplane.
Yes.
Oh boy.
I wanted to go there eventually.
The only thing I'll say about that is I made a very similar comment like a day or two ago because I would love to watch that. And, you know, I've talked with one of the people that was on that tarmac about it and things like that. But the problem is, unless somehow they could get Vince McMahon to talk about it, or like the Prince of Saudi Arabia, it's not going to happen, because those wrestlers, for the most part, unless there's somebody else in the know, a higher up or whatever, everybody's standing on the tarmac and everything, like, what's happening? And they never really found out the full story. So,
well, it was like 18 hours.
Interesting as that would be, I don't think we're going to find out.
No, it's true. But I think Anderson got in trouble for tweeting while they were on the tarmac, something about 18 hours they were waiting. And maybe that in the long run led to him getting released. Yeah. But, you know, there was, they didn't know. That's the whole thing. They didn't know. But there were, you're right, unless Vince McMahon comes out and talks about it, because there was negotiations, and he left like 4 hours before everybody else on his private jet and got out of there. But
with Lesnar and a couple others, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. Some of the big, and Goldberg, I think, too, or whatever. Some of the big names they brought in. But he got out and was able to get back to America, and everybody else was trapped. But he's the one who, like, found out, you know, that they were mad about promises broken and things like that, that led to that happening. But yeah, I hope it's made, okay.
But there's still more shows there. Let's just, you know, maybe we were held hostage, but
yeah,
you know, that blood money contract, let's go back.
I wonder if there's
a roster, be so excited.
Again. Yeah, I wonder if there's a lot of people were working for the company say, oh, remember last time we were there? Oh, Lord, I don't want to go back, you know, or
if I work for that, I will travel almost anywhere in the world. If I worked for that company and they said, like, oh, we need you to go to Saudi Arabia. But like, I'm busy that day. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I would do anything I could to get out of that.
Remember, Daniel Bryan refused to go. I mean, he did. Actually, every time he refused. And I think someone else did. Was it John Cena? Somebody else refused to go, too. So there's a bunch of people.
There were several people that refused to go.
Yeah, there was definitely people that weren't going to go. So, yeah, and now we kind of segue just a little bit into Dark Side of the Ring. I kind of want to bring that up. But, you know, it's
the real quick thing I want to mention, we don't have to talk about it necessarily, but did you hear Jonathan Coachman's recent comments? Very similar to that.
Oh, really?
He said he'll never go back to WWE. He'll never work for Vince again, because he's upset about the way he got screwed over with the XFL stuff.
Yeah.
But he did tell a story about how the second time he was supposed to go to Afghanistan, I think, with Tribute for the Troops, and like they asked him if he was going to go. He said no. I don't know if it was like he was having a baby or something else was like going on important. And like at the arena that day, everybody was leaving from the arena to like go to the airport to fly over. And somebody asked him like for his bags. He's like, no, I told you I wasn't going. And he got like all this heat for not going on the trip. So there's a lot of that. You can find that out. It was a pretty interesting interview with Coachman, but you know, obviously we were surprised recently to see him come back kind of into WWE, and we saw how that went and stuff, but yeah, he was pretty clear that he's never doing that again.
Well, especially what happened between him and Corey Graves. I read those. Yeah. I read that quote from him about Corey Graves not wanting him to be his partner, but wanted Renee to be his partner. And so he said he knew after like a couple of weeks of doing Raw with him that he was not going to get a fair shake from the guy who was like leading the announce team. And that's why, you know, which I'm surprised, because Corey Graves always seems like kind of a stand-up dude, you know. I mean, okay, maybe.
Hide your girlfriends, hide your wife.
Yeah, something like that. So
I don't know how much money the XFL owed Coachman, but it did not seem like a small amount of money, and it sounds like he'll never get that. So,
well, maybe The Rock will give it to him, since The Rock owns the XFL now, but maybe not. But some other big news this week, and we got to do some big news. Dark Side of the Ring debuted with their first new episode in the second half of this season, with the plane ride from hell, HELL. And that, if you don't know what that story is about, that's a story about the WWE coming back. Was it a transcontinental flight back to the United States?
London back to the States. Yep.
Yeah. And things got a little out of hand. A lot of alcohol was going around. People were, you know, things happen on this. If you watch that hour show, so many different things happen that I've heard stories from different people about, like, you know, Doc Hendricks or whatever his name was, Michael P.S. Wall Street. No, what was his name again? Michael Hayes.
Michael Hayes.
Yeah, he had his ponytail cut off after he got knocked, or was he drunk and asleep or knocked out? He punched somebody else. I think it was Bradshaw in the face when he was sleeping, and all sorts of terrible things happened. But people who were on it came on and did interviews. Ric Flair denied everything that, you know, because he was running around and I guess he was naked underneath his robe and he was sticking his junk in people's faces. And this is a transcontinental, you know, plane that's filled with regular people as well as wrestlers. And the wrestlers were just kind of getting out of hand. That's you've probably heard the story about Brock Lesnar wrestling with Kurt Hennig and flying against the emergency door, and there was a big boom and everyone was scared that the door was going to shoot open and everyone was going to get sucked out. But it, because of this, Tommy Dreamer made some comments during the show about Ric Flair and just saying it was a boys thing. And it got him in some beef with Impact Wrestling. He was doing, I mean, I think he was an agent with Impact as well as he was, you know, he was obviously on TV. He was a guy working with them. And because of his flippant attitude, I think, on what happened with Ric Flair and not really putting much blame on Flair at all, because Flair, you know, Flair was half, like I said, he was naked under his robe and sticking his junk in a stewardess face and stuff like that. Tommy Dreamer got suspended just from his comments from Impact Wrestling. Was Tommy just people? I mean, obviously it was boys being boys. That was kind of like the statements he was making, you know. Was this punishment he got? Was that deemed worthy? I mean, do you guys feel like he went over the bounds too much by what he was talking about? Because it was a short clip. I went back and watched it, you know, because he was addressing every single thing that was going on, and that was just the one thing that, you know, the Ric Flair part.
It was an uncomfortable episode to watch. I did not like what Tommy said. That wasn't the only stuff from the show. I mean, there was stuff from Kyoto. There was stuff from a lot of people that I understand that, you know, we're in a different era now than we were back then. And maybe those things, for whatever reason, were considered more acceptable back then. Yeah. Was it ever acceptable to try to force a flight attendant to touch your naked genitalia? No. Should that be defended? Not then, not now. There's a lot of stuff on there that obviously, you know, there's some stuff that's, you know, a drunken fight, like, it's stupid, it's a bad look. That's not the worst thing. Talking about H-bombs and drinks and this and that. The fact they went through three liquor carts, like, before taking off, like, it's just not a WWE obviously can't be happy about this episode. This is something that we've heard bits and pieces of from people that were on that flight over the years and different interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was by far the most we've ever heard about it. And I guess what I can say is that me personally, you know, Dreamer's somebody who I've never had a bad interaction with. Have been around him quite a bit, including independent shows, things like that. He's not somebody I would have ever expected to say this, especially with the tone he had, and not somebody that I ever thought would ever pop up on a canceled list, whether this is temporary or permanent, whatever. The backlash, the way Twitter blew up, all of that stuff, I don't think Impact had a choice. Same with Busted Open as well. Will this be a permanent thing? I don't know, but it just wasn't. He didn't need to do that. I am shocked, really, that the way things were. I mean, there was even, like, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch and evaluate the individual clips and stuff, but I feel like the people who were more willing to say that things were wrong were people like RVD and others. And I just didn't, the whole way, it was very strange. I knew it was going to be a crazy episode, but I didn't expect for it to feel the way it did. And it's still,
it looked like
crazy
to me,
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked to me like there was a lot of guys that had nothing to lose that were doing commentary on that. Like, you know, Just Incredible, PJ Polanco, it's like he's got nothing to lose by coming and talking about it. Maybe he could get a payday in the same time, you know? So I was thinking about some of the guy like Mike Chioda, you know, worked for WWE for what, 30, whatever years it was, you know, as a
35.
Rough 35. Yeah. So it's like, he was kind of lackadaisical, I think, too, in the way he was talking and boys being boys stuff, you know, and then Ric Flair denying everything pretty much.
There's one other person I want to talk about, but I want to hear Danny's thoughts first before taking up too much time on it.
There isn't much more I can add other than how incredibly tone deaf that the things that Tommy Dreamer said. Like, let's just cut right to it. Even if you agree with that, You're entitled to your opinions. But if you're going to voice them in such a public manner, you have to be ready to accept the consequences for that. And I'm sorry, I don't get the boys will be boys thing is so old and tired and played out. And not only that, no one should ever be in a position where they're allowed to tell somebody who's gone through something that it's not a big deal. You don't get to dictate somebody's feelings where it's something that happened personally to them.
Yep.
So that alone, like I'm glad something's going to be done. Like RT said, whether or not it's a permanent thing, a temporary thing, who knows? But again, just incredibly tone deaf on Dreamer's part. And he's not the only one that's getting canceled. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is going to have some fallout on Ric Flair as well.
Well, I think that's an important thing to talk about because not everything has to be compared to what's better or what's worse, but everything we're just talking about here, none of this is a conversation if it's not for Ric Flair in the first place. And obviously there's been very strong rumors of Ric Flair debuting, what, 4 nights from now,
US Open,
AEW.
Yeah.
And I really hope and assume that that's not going to happen. That would be terrible timing. And AEW has obviously in the past had very strong stances on things. You know, whether that's Hulk or Linda Hogan or other things, whatever, that you can't do that right now. Please do not do that this week. I hope it's not. Yeah. The other part of this that I didn't mention yet is Jim Ross. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be in charge of talent relations with Vince McMahon as your boss, and you're in charge of people like Ric Flair and others. The amount of pressure that comes with every decision you make, you're not in an easy spot. But that being said, it was extremely uncomfortable to hear him talking and admitting basically that Ric Flair got a pass because he's Ric Flair. I appreciate that he was honest in the way he talked about it. I don't like that he was in that position in the first place because he's in a lose-lose, whatever he decides in that situation. He's the bad guy, you know, if he makes certain decisions with that. But again, why does, you know, Kurt Hennig gets released?
Yeah.
Scott Hall gets released. Ric Flair gets a pass. It's a tough spot to be in, but that part is really uncomfortable too, because Ric Flair was certainly one of the biggest offenders on that flight, if not the biggest. And to hear like, oh, well, he's exempt from, you know, punishment because he's the nature boy, like, yikes.
Yeah, that time has come and gone, that's for sure. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if there's repercussions from what that. And you know, the funny thing is it was the lowest rated Dark Side of the Ring ever. But, you know, with the hype that's going on about it, when it replays, you know, more people are going to be watching it, tuning in just to see what was going on. And it is uncomfortable. You know, it's like, listening to some of the stories. I mean, Jim Ross was in first class and they had to grab him out of first class to come back and stop Brock Lesnar and Kurt Hennig from killing each other. Because they said innocent people were getting hit by those guys throwing each other around, landing on them and stuff. So it's like, yeah, they couldn't fire Brock Lesnar. He was the new thing. He was the big thing, you know. So Kurt Hennig did pay for it, but it's an uncomfortable episode, and it's like maybe that's their intent, you know. But it was also the least watched one ever. So hopefully, WWE.
That's surprising that it was the least watched. I don't know if there was other stuff going on or there just wasn't the same publicity for it. Because certainly, none of these episodes are enjoyable. That wouldn't be a word to use. But it was certainly one of the more interesting ones. And I think of all the different topics they've covered, this was one where we found out more that we didn't know than some of the others. Like the Montreal Screwjob, we've heard every story from everybody a million times. Still very interesting for the episode. But this was something that we didn't necessarily know all the details about. The rest of this half season coming up, honestly, there's not too many topics that I'm super interested to see.
Yeah.
There are some, I don't even want to mention them because whatever, but a company that's trying to come back soon. But I think that there's
in Rochester by any chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't want to bring it up.
We'll leave it at that. But I think that there's only so many topics that are interesting enough to have this series keep the same momentum that it's had. And I know, like, on the season, this half season preview they did with Jericho, they, you know, talked about like future seasons and all the things they're considering and stuff. And I think they're going to get to a point where hopefully there aren't too many more dark stories to tell. But in the grand scheme of things, like, that was uncomfortable Thursday night, but it is another step toward progress because things are finally being called out that were brushed under the rug. And the current crop of wrestlers out there are really, most of them are trying to make an effort to change the business for the better. And it's about time because we can tell how shady it was in the past.
Yeah. Old boys club, you know, and I mean, and even Vince was part of that group. So, you know, I mean, you know, DC.
I think too, though, the ratings for this one may have been a bit lower because when you think of some of the topics they've discussed in the past, it's a lot of more well-known stuff. Like, obviously, everybody knows about the tragedies with, like, Brian Pillman and Owen Hart and, you know, Chris Benoit. And this is maybe one of those things that has flown under the radar. But my guess is that based on the buzz that's come out of it, it'll be one of the ones that's more watched after the fact.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and it's on my DVR. I'm going to watch it again just because, yeah, it's just, there. You know, and, you know, honestly, they only had a handful of people who were there. So, you know, firsthand, you know, witnesses of that stuff. But, well,
it'd be interesting. That episode would not have been the same if they didn't get that flight attendant. That was maybe the most interesting part about it was hearing and super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
feel
yeah.
Terrible for her. But that was a big piece that was kind of missing to that story before for the public eye.
Yeah, and this is a transatlantic flight, so it's like 5 hours at least minimum in the air. So these guys were just running roughshod.
Six hours.
Yeah. They were running roughshod over in that plane the whole time, you know. And like you said, they killed three bars before they even took off. Bar carts.
Another thing sitting on a tarmac. Another problem with that. You can't blame that part on WWE, but yikes.
Yeah, it was everybody, and they were getting back to the United States so they could do Monday Night Raw the next day. So it's like they were all stuck together for that trip. Let's shift a focus a little bit and talk about AEW this past week. AEW, and Rob, I know you got to be happy last night after, at the very end, when, Miro was beating up, what's his name?
Fuego del Sol.
Yeah. He was beating up him, and then out comes Sammy Guevara at the end to, you know, and picks up that belt and starts, you know, glowing at it. And it's like, and Sam, Sammy's been kind of in neutral since that whole feud between, you know, Jericho and MJF when the two groups were fighting each other. We haven't really seen much of him since then, except for when he, you know, proposed to his girlfriend. But that was good for him to come out. I mean, get thrown back into this. You know, it's like I think some people are super. And I want to make one point too. I saw the ad for the new Chicago dates, and I did not see anybody who had been with the company more than maybe 4 weeks in the picture. You know, that this
I hate that ad.
It stood out to me.
I know the one you're talking
about. It stood out to me. It's like there's not one person in this picture who just started with the company, and that's why I'm bringing up Sammy Guevara because Sammy, I mean, there was a heck of a lot of talent there before all these new signings, you know, and this point, this guy's been kind of like, you know, treading water for a while since, you know, being part of, as Jericho's group kind of lost to MJF or whatever, or won, whatever. Nevertheless, after the finals of that head-to-head match, he hasn't really done much. And so I'm just glad to see him out there, you know, at very end of the main event. Last night for Dynamite, and reminding people that there's these guys that are still there that weren't working for someone else a month ago, you know, and or 2 months ago.
I will say, like, for Rampage last night was one of my favorite AEW TV shows so far, just from a personal side of things.
Yeah, you got your tag buddies out there in a great match. That was a lot of fun.
Butcher and Blade get a tag title shot, then the Bunny, the former, you know, Cherry Bomb Alley, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She's in a match.
It's a Buffalo based show.
In a match, and then Sammy comes out. Like, it was the perfect hour for me, that show.
The tag match at the beginning of the hour too, with defending the titles. That was great.
Yeah. And I loved that. Like, you knew that Butcher and Blade were not going to win the tag titles.
Yeah.
But I loved the finish of that match. You know, that Blade, sorry, has had a thousand different names over the years, but he takes Penta's little tassels on his mask, ties it to the rope. Penta, then you're like, oh my God, like what's happening? And Penta just sacrifices the mask and covers his face and breaks up the cover and stuff. Like, it was whoever was the agent or whoever. I loved the way that that was, because I wasn't expecting it to go that way. But the episode was really good. And especially that you mentioned Sammy, like I think he's been somebody that always kind of thought like he'd be great in that TNT title picture. I would love to see him be the one who takes it off of Miro. Do I think Miro needs to lose it soon? No. But do I want them to do something with Sammy even more? Yes. So that I love. And mentioning like all those ex-WWE people on that ad, I agree.
Yeah.
And along those lines, talking about titles and changes and all that stuff. I don't think they would. I really don't think they would. But please do not have Britt drop the title this week.
Yeah, no, you know, and this week's special because we're getting 4 hours of AEW television. We're going to get 2 hours on Wednesday, and we're going to get 2 hours on Friday. And they've got, and we're going to get to see Daniel Bryan versus Kenny Omega sometime this week, and which is super exciting because, you know, they're building it up and not for a pay-per-view. Like, obviously, to me, it doesn't sound like anything, but that'll be resolved after that. But it will, at least we'll get to
loser
see
the, has to give up white t-shirts.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. Yeah,
well, I love that it's a non-title match too, just throwing that out there. Yeah. Like, Danielson doesn't deserve it yet in terms of like the records mattering, the wins and losses mattering, all that stuff. It leaves it much more open to try to figure out what's going to happen with the match. It's really exciting. I don't know. It makes me think back to an ROH show in Toronto in 2008. Was there, saw Bryan Danielson against a very blonde Kenny Omega against Tyler Black in a three-way match. And just to think that like we're getting this singles match all these years later, I didn't see this happening. And I think it's going to be so much better than anything in the past. And, the cards for these two shows this week are ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know Tony Khan said yesterday that it's the biggest week of TV that AEW's ever done. And you think when you hear that stuff from the owner of a company, you think, yeah, they're always going to say that. But then you look at that card and you're like, yeah, this week coming up really is the biggest week of TV they've ever done. Like, obviously All Out and all that stuff in Chicago and Punk and stuff, that was huge. Yeah. But there's some quality matches on paper for this coming week.
And we're getting a free Sting match on TV too. And it's like, and Sting's not going to wrestle a lot. So this is like one of those moments when which, you know, you're going to get FTR versus Sting and Darby Allin. And I mean, that sounds like, you know, such potential to, you know, I mean, just, you know, and listen, there's a lot of respect for Sting, you know, and obviously he could still do a lot of it. You know, we've seen him in the ring.
62 years old and taking a spike pile driver.
Yeah. Yeah. He still can, he definitely can still do it. So I'm excited, I'm super excited for that, but we're going to get Jericho and Hager versus Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky. I think there's just a lot of stuff good that's going on, and you know, it makes sense. You're in the number one market in the world. You know, or well, the country. I can't guarantee the world anymore. I think Mexico City is bigger, and maybe Hong Kong. But you know, for the TV market, that's the place, and they're going to be impressing a lot of people with what they do in Arthur Ashe Stadium this week coming up. As you know, and then they're coming to Rochester after that. So we, you know, it's a we'll be the hangover. You know,
the afterthought.
Yeah.
No, I think Rochester is going to be in for a huge show. I have a feeling.
Yeah. I mean, even if the card wasn't that great for this coming week, I love the aspect of Arthur Ashe Stadium, the bigger, different look, whatever, like that part alone is intriguing enough to me. I'm just big on the way venues are and stuff. And, you know, Impact was putting on great stuff years ago, but when they were in the Impact Zone every single week, it was like this doesn't feel the same. Some of this stuff that AEW has been able to do crowd wise has been really fun. This week was obviously huge being at the Prudential Center in Newark. And, you know, obviously Rochester is going to be a smaller house than some of these recent crazy big AEW shows. But like Dan alluded to, I think Rochester is kind of in a way, maybe like a reset for a lot of things too. Like you kind of, you were building to the punk stuff, All Out, Arthur Ashe. And then it's like, all right, now let's turn toward full gear. And I think there will be some special things happening in Rochester.
Yeah.
So, and man, that show's been a long wait.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And it's almost like I might even get a little weepy at it, to be honest with you, because of what we were supposed to get and what we would have gotten, you know,
March 18th, 2020.
Yeah. What we would have gotten, and now we're never going to get a chance again. So, you know, and it has nothing to do with anything anybody did. It's just, that's called fickle finger of fate. You know, that's the world and we have to deal with it. But there's so many people calling the show in the past, like, when's this show going to happen? It's been postponed 4 times now. Well, it's gonna. And it's like, and we finally convinced somebody when they were talking about Rochester this past week that the show is going to happen. Okay. You know, it is. So I'm super excited. I can't wait for them to come into town. And, you know, we'll see, you know, but
I'm intrigued. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole here, but I am interested with, you know, who operates that arena and who made decisions on the hockey arena and football stadium in Buffalo on certain regulations that are going into place. And now we're only a week and a half away from the show. So I don't know if we're at the point of too late, but I'm staying tuned to see if there's any kind of
last
rules
minute
that we don't know about yet.
Yeah, no. So,
to me, that seems like a effective 10-1 kind of thing that might come out.
Well,
yeah. Look. Well, hey, never mind. I won't.
Yeah, let's.
I don't even want to.
Let's just hope.
Let's not jinx it. All I'm going to tell you guys is I am jealous. I honestly, something special is going to happen in Rochester.
Yeah.
And I'm jealous of all my friends that are going to be there to see it.
Yeah, and all your Rochester friends here. Yeah, it's going to be. And you know what? We got that coming up, and we're super excited about that. But something else. Oh, yeah. So, like, we were talking, we were still on this AEW this week coming up, how important a week it's really going to be for this company and with their momentum. Like I said, right now their momentum is so high, you know, that Rochester is definitely going to fall in the wake of that momentum shift. So we're going to see some special stuff. I'm pretty sure of that. And we get 4 hours of live AEW TV this week. So I'm curious to see how they're going to do Rampage. Is it going to be taped in Rochester? We'll find out, I guess. No one's absolutely sure, but yeah, I'm guessing it's going to be. Yeah, I've been feeling that for a while. So I do want to mention one thing, or one or two things that happened this past week on AEW. I saw Rosario Dawson get involved with Mordecai Black. Is that his name? Yeah,
Malachi.
Sorry. Sorry. Another Mordecai is a different guy altogether.
Malachi. That didn't work.
Yeah. So it's, I'm like, who's that in the crowd jumping out? It's like, and it was Rosario Dawson jumping on the back of Black. And then him throwing her off and Cody coming out, and obviously Cody's re-debut. I thought they were going to hold that off until next week, but we got Cody's re-debut this past week, which leads up to, we're going to probably get a good feud out of those guys. Hopefully it goes more in a few shows. But that was kind of weird seeing, you know, I know that Rosario Dawson is on that show that Cody does. That's on TBS.
Go Big Show.
Yeah. Go Big Show. And so, and she's been very open to doing stuff, you know. She's a great actress, you know. She was doing all those Marvel TV shows for a while, and now, but I thought it was pretty cool that she actually got physical into it. She jumped up on his back and, you know, looked like she's trying to put like a sleeper on him. I couldn't tell what it was, but spun her around and threw her off, and she took it like a champ. So
and another celebrity has made allusions to maybe being at AEW on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, Stephen Amell. Yeah. If you've seen the new show that he does on Showtime.
Heels.
Heels. I've not seen it yet, but I've heard good things about the last couple of shows.
Stars? I've enjoyed it quite a bit so far. Yeah. I didn't know what to expect, but it's been a good ride so far.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, I mean, you know, this guy has a lot of love for pro wrestling, obviously. He's wrestled for WWE. He's been, you know, he was at WrestleMania. So he definitely.
He wrestled it All In as well.
Yeah, he wrestled All In. Yeah. And he actually hurt himself wrestling and just dealt with it, you know. I mean, when he was training, I know that he had like broken a rib or something, and he still went and did the match after he broke a rib after training. So he was. You know, he's definitely going to show up. Who knows? Maybe he'll make it to Rochester the next week too. You know, we could, you know, have a little Stephen Amell visit, hopefully. But so I want to shift focus a little bit now just to the new NXT that debuted this past week. NXT, colorful NXT, it is. What is different with it? I don't know. I think the thing that stood out to me was they had a few WWE people, you know, backstage popping in and whatever. There's a few Monday Night Raw or SmackDown people popping in during the show. But just before this ever happened, Samoa Joe had to drop the title, got injured apparently. And which was pretty cool, actually, that the last match of the night was whoever won it was going to be the new champion. And now we have a new champ in NXT, Tommaso Ciampa, which, you know, is this the first time he's held it, or has Ciampa held that?
Second time.
That's right. So Ciampa, it was great. You know, said that obviously he's a guy they want to keep. You know, there's always rumors about all these guys maybe leaving and everything because they want to. They brought in a whole bunch of new faces too. Did you guys get a chance to watch NXT at all this past week and get a feel for what was the big deal about, you know, changing the color scheme of the logo?
NXT basically went on one of those color runs.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah. I tuned in because I wanted to see what it was all about. Can't say I found much that like made me very excited. I don't see Ciampa being a long-term champ. I don't know why we can't allude to certain superstars being a second generation and who their, you know, first generation tie-in is.
Oh yeah, Cal Bloom. Yeah. Cal Bloom, Von. What was it? Von Wagner, Wayne Bloom's kid,
or a certain Bron Breakker.
Bron Breakker,
which is just like one step on the ladder above Michael McGillicuddy.
True. I mean, and he looks exactly like his dad. You know, I'm looking there. It's like Rick Steiner's dad. You know, obviously he looks like Rick Steiner, you know, same build.
All I'm going to say is I found more entertainment from Matt Hardy version one than I did NXT 2.0.
I did not like it at all. I tuned in. I gave it a fair chance in my mind. I was intrigued to see what the setup was going to look like with kind of the change in the seating and the entranceway and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Still undecided how I feel about some of the production stuff, like the kind of crane or moving jib cam they had and stuff. But from a purely wrestling side of things, from a booking, creative, who they used on the show, all of that stuff, I don't even want to hate on like the colors and stuff like that. Do I like it? No. Do I like the 2.0 name? No. Do I think it's stupid that a WWE staffer was caught trying to start a 2.0 chant that nobody was joining in on when 2.0 is a tag team you just let go and they're rising the ranks over your competition?
Oh yeah.
But from the actual show side of things, I tuned in and I was like, you know, you want to make a big deal about this new era. The first half an hour especially was garbage. I don't know who some of these people are that were on the show.
Yeah.
Some of the vignettes, some of the matches, whatever. Like, there's been so much talent in NXT over the years. And to me, that was what made it stand apart and everything else. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Tommaso Ciampa, but like, if you look even like just before that match, I hated the show.
Yeah.
Like those, starting with Eli, what a LA Knight, like losing, but then he's going to be in a title match and then you take Pete Dunne out. And then you got a bunch of these people. I have no idea how they are like on the show, but like, they're not good enough yet to even be.
Von Wagner, like, because someone got hurt, they threw him into that last match and that, you know, but that's right. They really,
yeah, his first match. Yeah. Let's put him in a title match for the new era and it's like, stop.
I know, I agree. And it was difficult to watch. And then they felt that maybe I was beginning to feel when I was watching it that the new era meant that Damian Priest is going to be backstage, you know, to bring some star power maybe to NXT. I felt like that they were trying to. I do like the seat setup. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the old Mid-Atlantic style with the bleachers and everything. But it's still, you know, there wasn't too much.
NXT had a unique look before, whether people liked it or didn't like it. Didn't really make a huge difference to me. I mean, I liked kind of some of the more recent looks more than when it was like the same crowd in the stands at the old NXT arena all the time, whatever, the full sale stuff. But that doesn't matter. The fact is, like, wrestling fans, the people who care the most about the pro wrestling side of things, tuned into NXT to see some of the best wrestling matches within WWE. This week shows that they don't care about that anymore. Now it's just like purely developmental. And I'm all about watching developmental stuff. I love that in hockey and everything else too. Yeah. You get to see the progression of people, but this is going to be a total flop in my mind. If they're really like, you let Adam Cole go and all this other stuff go, and they're like, this is your crop of people that you're going to push.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Where's Bronson?
There's enough great wrestling on TV these days, and you got some good stuff even happening on SmackDown and dare I say Raw, at least with one person there. But no, I'm not watching NXT on Tuesday. Like I that was a waste of my time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, part of the reason I always got so much enjoyment out of NXT was because it was these people who had gotten the chance to kind of hone their craft around the world. And now here they are under the WWE umbrella. While, you know, representing WWE, they weren't forced quite into the full WWE style, which was a nice break from what you saw on Raw and SmackDown. Even though it was a WWE product, it felt different. It looked different. The flow was different. They're going to have a very hard time getting me to watch people I've never heard of being forced into that WWE style peg that Vince McMahon refuses to break away from. NXT has gone from a product that I wanted to watch to one that I'm going to have a hard time having any interest in.
I complained plenty about how much WWE signed every indie person they could, kind of just to keep them away from AEW. I was also happy for a lot of those people that they got to sign WWE contracts, and some of them maybe got some opportunities and some of them didn't. Now you're letting so many of the talented people go, and now it's just all these football players and gymnasts and this and that don't know anything about wrestling. They haven't been wrestling fans. They haven't worked a wrestling show before or anything like that. And yeah, you can mix in those people once in a while. We talked about Big E earlier in the show. Like, there are certain projects like that that absolutely worked out. People that never have been and never will be at an indie show or anything like that, that's great. But if your whole show is going to be like that, I'm changing the channel.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to let you know that Pete Dunne signed a 3-year contract to stay with NXT, and Johnny Gargano's contract expires in December, and he has not signed a new contract. So Johnny Gargano, I always felt, was going to be a guy on the wayside because he does his talking in the ring. He's a guy, you know, I mean, you know, and it's been fun. You know, yes, it may have been a new NXT. We still got that wedding, you know, that they had promised, and it's funny, awkward, funny, but you know, it's like a one, you know, a one note joke or whatever that, you know, just kept going on and on and on, and they fulfilled it. So I figured they were going to ditch everything that they were doing and, you know, start over, but they still continued with that.
I mean, I guess we can give them a little bit of credit. That wedding was probably some of the longest term storyline they've done in quite some time.
True.
I'm over any company doing weddings at this point. And if you're crowning a new champion, that's the main event, period. I don't care about a wedding or anything else on the show compared to the world championship. The NXT championship match should have been the main event. And I don't know, like, in that second hour of NXT, like, I was busy and then I was on the phone and I was kind of still watching, but the fact that, like, all of a sudden it was over, I was like, oh, okay, so they're out of time because they got to get this wedding going. Cool. Like, where are the priorities? And I know a lot of people were entertained by the wedding. That's fine. That's great. I'm not saying it was like the worst wrestling wedding or anything. I barely saw that part of it. But to me, like, just the fact of any show, like, you've got to make your championships matter. And it felt like it didn't matter there. The way that they switched who was in the match, the way that they abruptly, I didn't even like that Samoa Joe came out on Twitter on Sunday or whatever and was just like, I'm relinquishing the title. Like, that alone could have been a TV thing.
Yeah.
And they just rushed right into a match with weird people in it, and was way too quick and didn't feel like the most important part of the show in their mind. And I just,
I think what it is NXT's catching up with the way Raw and SmackDown are being written, how their last minute changes and everything, you know, because Vince, I guess, was hands on with this week's show, you know, and that being said, things get canceled very quickly and, you know, rushed in other aspects. And that's exactly what the show felt like.
Well, how many wrestling purists that have so many options right now, and I'm not just talking about WWE and AEW and Impact, but there are so many other companies out there too that are live streaming, that are available to watch regularly. How many of those people were, for WWE's side of things, only cared about NXT? It was the one thing that they had left from the biggest long-term company that they cared about. And it felt this week like they ripped that away from them too. You're really like, you're in this desperation mode a little bit because you see how big the competition is starting to get, how they're taking the momentum. So what's the logical thing to do? Let's push those remaining fans out the door and make this product just like Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Let's get rid of the fans that made this a big deal when we were doing it on our network, and it was a secret underground type of thing, you know, developing characters like Bayley, Sasha Banks, a lot of the names now that we're seeing on TV on the other shows every week. I heard, and this is hearsay, but I heard that the contracts for people in NXT were, you know, even for main eventers, were much lower than they would have been if they had been on Raw or SmackDown. So they're definitely treating it like a work in progress of something that obviously it's, even though every week I say this, that it's on an even platform as every other show, it's definitely not, you know, in the company's hierarchy is an even platform at all. And like all the people they cut from NXT in the past, you know, like 6 months, you know, guys that, you know, got Bronson Reed, I still don't understand what was going on with that guy. You know, he got cut after he debuted on SmackDown. So it's like,
come on, Cash. WWE is having hard times financially right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wink.
But apparently you can make more money in NXT than you can in organized crime. So there's that to consider as well.
Well, I hope
I just broke Artiste.
Oh.
Yeah. How? Google the name Tony D'Angelo.
Yes.
Who decided that would be a good gimmick name to give for
Vince McMahon?
Should I say this as somebody involved? The biggest scumbag in the hockey world right now. I don't care. I'm going to say it. Like, yeah. The things that he has done, the racist comments that the hockey player Tony D'Angelo has made, the fighting with his own teammates, getting kicked off of teams and stuff. And then WWE is like, well, let's just give this new guy Tony D'Angelo. That's a good name for him. Stupid. Absolutely.
Well,
tone deaf. Stupid.
But you know the way they are. It'll change next week to something else. We've seen these guys like go through a few multiple name changes, you know, that are.
Let's let him use his real name.
Yeah.
His name, like, he wrestled at UB. His real name is Joe Areola.
Yeah.
That's going to get attention its own, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just
do something like, you know.
The one thing I'll give credit for again with all of this is I don't know if I necessarily would have picked Ciampa to win the match just because he's been a champion before.
Yeah.
And I really do like him. But at least out of all these decisions and everybody had on the show, whatever, like, at least they put the title on somebody who's still part of that like group of professional wrestlers who the wrestling purist, longtime NXT fans appreciate, as opposed to giving it to the guy in his first night or something like that.
No,
see that. I don't think they wanted to see LA Knight yet. Obviously a ton of people wanted Pete Dunne and, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, whatever, but at least the champion after Tuesday is somebody who still is part of that old NXT 1.0, whatever you want to say. Also, hold on.
The origin.
How is this 2.0?
I don't know.
NXT was like a reality show thing in the beginning. That was 1.0. Then these last, like the majority of NXT, the good years were 2.0. This should be 3.0.
Real quick interjection too, because you mentioned it. Tony D'Angelo, let him wrestle under his true name, Areola. And then just throwing this out there, because this is the way Areola? My mind.
Did we can say that on the show.
Yeah, right? we can say Areola.
Why not?
Yeah, we can definitely say Areola.
So, real quick. So because we can say that, let him wrestle under that name. Let his finisher be like a sneaky backslide pin. Call it the nip slip.
Ooh.
Now we're cooking with.
Or maybe we should call him Tony Headlights Areola or something, you know? Or
I always said if I ever got back into radio, my name was going to be Tony Zamboni. I'll let him borrow it. they can have that. Better than Tony D'Angelo.
Wait, you know, we've gone a lot longer than an hour. I don't know if you realize that or not. So I think
Who cares? We're having fun.
That's true. It is fun. I just want to get some quick news before we get out of here. The few things. One thing. I don't know how close you were watching Monday Night Raw, but there was a match between Nikki A.S.H. and tag champ Tamina Snuka that just was kind of weird, because when it ended, they played the wrong music and announced the wrong winner. I don't know what was going on. Maybe it was a 3-pin count that wasn't supposed to happen. I don't know. But if you watch back at that, go back and watch it. They announced the wrong person as the winner when Nikki's parading around the ring, doing her, I won. And, flexing her muscles and jumping up in the air and stuff. And then, but they're playing Tamina's music, and they said Tamina on the PA system won. Is this something that, like, they weren't sure what was going to happen when they went out for the match, and someone, or maybe they told them the story at the last minute. It's like, okay, don't forget that this is what's happening at the end. I have no idea how you would explain that.
They changed the finish mid-match and forgot to tell the parties involved.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. At least the music guy knew and the announcer, but I thought that was kind of odd this past week. Also, including when we're talking about NXT 2.0, we have a new member of the Academy, Wrestling Academy there, Ivy Nile. They added a woman to the group with the Creed brothers, Malcolm Bivens, and it was interesting that I was wondering, because there's one girl just staring the life out of the camera when they're talking in the ring, and it's like, who's this girl? So apparently I did a little research, found out that she was from the Rocks Titan Games that was on NBC in 2019, former MMA. Have you ever heard her before? Ivy Nile, I think her real name, Emily Adzulis or something like that. It was interesting that they added her to the group. I think it's pretty cool. She was trained by Tom Pritchard and Kane, obviously. But that was, I thought that was an interesting piece of news. Some other news, WWE Diva Champion Paige is continuing to fuel rumors of her possible in-ring future by posting the one word on her Twitter this past week, January. She's been out because, yes, neck injury or whatever, and for a long time, and been finding a way to make money doing like Twitch and stuff like that. And
how is it? I don't know. Like, there are a lot of people, especially in this country, that hate on the advancement of medicine and all these type of things that people, scientists, whatever, do their jobs do really well. Anyway, how are we at the point where all of these people who their careers were over, and modern medicine, the work of doctors, like all these people are either coming back or potentially coming back or have already returned from career ending injuries? That's just impressive to me. Like, it's all like, I never thought we were going to see Edge or Daniel Bryan or all these people, like Christian, like all these people come back. Like, that's awesome that we're at this point. Like, shout out to the doctors and all them and the scientists.
Yeah, and you think about it, it's like they were, remember how devastated all those individuals were when they were told that they weren't able to wrestle again. But that seems like it's only temporary. It's like, now you're not going to be able to wrestle, but maybe if you were like Edge, he really put into getting his physique in prime shape, and he did have neck surgery, and it took a while for that to finally get it okay. You just got to get a doctor that'll say okay to a lot of people. Paige, I remember Paige was coming back from a neck injury, and she took like a stiff drop kick from Sasha Banks that kind of gave her a stinger in the ring, and that's when everything stopped for her. But she was like riding high off that at the time, coming off a Divas show, as well as, well, some homemade movies that came out and stuff like that. But, you know, no, that had nothing to do with it. But she, people wanted to see her in the ring. She wanted to be in the ring. She wrestled from since she was, what, 13, I think she said, you know. You know, she so she's still young, got a lot of career.
Well, she had a movie made about her life.
Yeah, yeah. So you know,
how different would the wrestling business be now if some of, I mean, there's plenty of injuries that would have ended careers regardless, but how different would the business be now if some of these new treatments and surgeries and everything had existed when people like Steve Austin or others like had to have their careers cut short? Like, it's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is. You know, I mean, even Arn Anderson, I remember he's a guy who had a nerve damage in his arm to the point where he couldn't wrestle anymore, and he still can't to this day, but he goes out there and tries and does stuff up. But he's a guy who definitely ended too early. Yeah, and, you know, and that happens. And, you know, so, yeah, we're seeing more people coming back. So, you know, never say never, I guess, you know. So some other pieces of news. I did mention Pete Dunne re-signed a new 3-year deal. Triple H, I think we sent our best out to him, had surgery. They really haven't gotten too deep into it, but it was some sort of heart defect that they had fixed. And it was a lot seriouser than I think we even portrayed, because it was just kind of like a one-line piece of news. But, you know, hope everything comes out okay. It looks like MVP is going to be off TV for a while. He's having his knees fixed, though they did say that he broke a rib during Randy Orton's RKO of him this past Monday Night Raw. But in reality, I think it's storyline, so that he's going out to have his knee fixed, because he had, obviously, you can see he's been limping for about, I don't know, since he's been back pretty much. Some other news. I think we're about the end of the news. Oh, the WWE draft, they have official date, October 1st, SmackDown. It'll be on SmackDown and conclude October 4th on Raw. So that's a Friday into a Monday. And that's about all the news I have fit to print. Is there anything you guys want to plug before we get out of here?
You mentioned the draft. I so hope we get the competing Fox and USA Network war rooms again.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah,
the hilarious might be a stretch, but
yeah, well,
it was something.
I'm thinking that because they both are complaining about what every other show gets that they don't get. So there's a lot, but
I was gonna say, let's make it legit. Let's have the actual people fighting out over draft picks.
Yeah. That'd be great. Rob, can people buy tickets still for the two CW shows coming up?
Yes.
Okay.
So AEW is in Rochester on Wednesday the 29th. The following night, 2CW is in Binghamton. So that's Thursday, September 30th. And then Friday, October 1st. I can't believe it's almost October. 2CW is in Syracuse. So tickets are still available for both shows. The Syracuse show was moved to a larger venue. 2cwrestling.com/tickets has it. There's a lot of big announcements this week. There are more to come. There are some big surprises that will not be announced, but the one that got huge attention this week first was Mercedes Martinez against Thunder Rosa, which I cannot wait to see and to call that match. Even just making the graphic for that match was exciting, to be honest. Like, that's going to be huge. And then I was shocked this week because we also announced that Davey Richards and Alex Shelley will be wrestling each other in Syracuse. And somehow they've never wrestled a singles match against each other.
Really?
And I don't understand how that's possible for two Midwest veterans who are in the same companies, who they've wrestled each other in tag matches. They wrestled each other in the Wolves against the Motor City Machine Guns in 2CW like 10, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
How they've never had a singles match boggles my mind. But there's a lot happening. Dark Order, I mean, the list goes on and on. 2cwrestling.com or 2CW on Facebook, Twitter. Check it out. And there are tickets left. I don't think there are going to be many left very soon.
Oh, so get on it, folks. That's what he's saying. Get on it if you want to catch out these shows. And the 2CW always put on great shows everywhere they went. Even when we were doing the German house or whatever here in Rochester, when they brought in Chris Sabin, I don't know if you remember, that was a long time ago. They were coming into the Rochester market. I went to a bunch of those shows, and they were so much fun. We went to the last one, that quote unquote, the last one before the ones coming up. And that was an incredible.
We were there.
Yeah, that was awesome. Too sweet. You know, we got to hang out a little bit with some.
It is insane looking back at that card.
Yeah.
And like, I just, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to those shows. It's going to be an exhausting week for at least some of us with that's a lot of wrestling in a 3-night span, all on weeknights. Yeah. But really excited for it. I would suggest people follow the social media for last minute updates that either won't or can't be announced until like the day of, things like that. And I probably shouldn't say this, but a lot of people have been asking about streaming things and stuff, and maybe those two sentences go together as well. But
gotcha. So yeah, if you're say you're not in the area,
like for people in North Carolina,
People not in the area.
I was gonna ask.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, you know, on that note, we're gonna get out of here next week. Don't forget, we'll be previewing AEW's Rochester show, as well as we're gonna get an idea what's going on after this crazy week with AEW in New York down at Arthur Ashe Stadium. You know. Well, let's see what happens. See if Ric Flair gets slapped on the wrist or if he shows up on Wednesday night. Who knows? But I want to thank you, Rob. I want to thank you, Dana. All our shows can be found on the painclinic.net as well as iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, one of all those places you can find the iTunes show. And right here on Facebook
Live.
Spotify, yeah. Right here on Facebook Live. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Have a great week.